I want to explore some of the other advances that have occurred through the GOG and other research entities in terms of ovarian cancer, and also where we are right now in terms of current clinical trials.
If we look then at the next large trial, that's really, you could probably put it into one of two categories, that being landmark or provocative, that is GOG-172. And this was the third trial of three trials that looked at the role of giving some of the therapy intraperitoneally, which means putting a catheter in and dumping the drug directly into the peritoneal cavity. And in that trial, we saw a median survival of 66 months for those patients that received a component of their care intraperitoneally versus 50 months. And these were stage 3 ovarian cancer patients. So what does that tell you? Well, first of all, that's a pretty big difference in terms of survival. So it was almost 17 months difference, number one. Number two, the other thing that's very encouraging is that now in stage 3 ovarian cancer, certainly advanced stage, we now have median survivals that eclipse 5 years, which I think is very encouraging.
What's the tumor-free survival at 5 years or 10 years?
Well, it's usually approximately about half that. If you look then at the other issue that's raised with 172, though, is there was a significant amount of toxicity, and then almost 60% of the women were unable to finish all 6 cycles of chemotherapy.
Now, was this local or systemic toxicity?
Both. So it was due to catheter failure. It was due to myelosuppression. It was due to neuropathy. It was due to a number of issues. So
were the systemic issues different in the intraperitoneal arm as opposed to the systemic arm?
They were. There was about a 3-time increase in most of the non-hematologic toxicities in the IP arm versus the IV arm.
Was there more drug given?
There was more drug, and I think that's one of the issues that really needs to be noted and one of the criticisms of the IP trials to date. The first trial, Dave Albert's trial, was the cleanest. It just didn't use the drugs that we currently use, so the applicability of comparing cis and cyclophosphamide, it makes it a little more difficult.
Why was it cleaner, though?
Well, it was cleaner because the only thing they changed was the route of delivery.
Same drugs.
That's right.
Same dose.
That's right. Versus what we have in the second trial, Mari Markman's trial, there was a lot more drug given. In fact, even in the intraperitoneal arm, they started off with 2 courses of IV carbo with an AUC of 9.
I guess it's almost, when you put it intraperitoneally, it's essentially becoming systemic.
Well, that's the question, I think. You know, it's really, are we really looking at a depot delivery system, or are we looking at this concept that the cancer cells are being bathed by the chemotherapy and it's peeling them off like an onion,
it's both
layer
sort
by layer?
Of, right?
We don't know.
What do you know about blood levels after intraperitoneal therapy?
We know that there, if you look at Dr. Krasner's data that was presented a couple of years ago now at ASCO, it's very interesting. She did some PK data, and it looks like you have a pattern that looks very similar to what's seen with the IV, with the exception of the initial spike that you get with the IV.